As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
No, it tends to be among high-income individuals whose income is opaque and the IRS doesn't receive information about it. If you earn a paycheck, you get a W-2, the IRS knows about it. But high-income individuals with opaque sources of income that are not reported to the IRS, there's a lot of tax fraud and cheating that's going on, and all that's involved in this proposal is a few aggregate numbers about bank accounts, the amount that was received in the course of a year, the amount that went out in the course of the year. If somebody reports an income of $10,000 and they had $3 million go out of their checking account, that tells the IRS that's an individual you might audit.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Welcome to the show, the radio show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure, sign up for the newsletter. There's a couple of huge things that we're going to get out of the way just in the first part of this hour. First, we'll get to the IRS stuff and all of that here in a little bit. Of course, the Shatner thing that kicked off this morning, Blue Origin. It was neat to watch, even though I don't like Jeff Bezos. So we've got that for you. We're gonna run down a whole bunch of stuff. Now, in the meantime, some of the things that we're looking at today, more inflation comes in hotter than expected. Prices are rising 5.4%. Let's see. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden shared a bank account. And we've got all of that. We've got some of the latest with coronavirus. We've got some of the latest with education later on in the show. We're going to speak to Luke Rosiak, and then we'll also speak to John Schweppe. He's one of the guys at American Principles Project. They had their videos pulled from YouTube and their account shut down. So it's super fun. Super fun times. Oh, yes. And then, of course, we got some foreign policy stuff and all of that. So we'll get into all of it and a lot more. It's already an insane day. It's raining in Texas, so everybody's late for everything because nobody can drive when it rains here. So help me God. Nobody can drive when it rains in Texas. I don't know what it is, but wet gets on the road and everyone loses their redacted minds. I can't deal. So as we get moving on with all this, first up, inflation hotter than expected as 5.4% spike in price, and it continues to surge. In fact, supply chain snarled. We're going to get into that a little and nitty gritty here, but first, just get this top layer. There's not so much a labor shortage as it's a labor shortage issue, but not because there's a lack of people. It's not because there's some kind of lack of people. It is specifically because people were paid to stay home, and then you had everybody, the whole entire everything locked down. And as a result, when people started ordering things I was looking at what people were ordering. The top things were furniture and home improvement stuff. Like, everybody was staying home. They were getting those stimmy checks. They were all staying home, and then they were buying furniture and all of that stuff. So it makes some sense. But that, and then, of course, some of the other like rare earth element stuff that they were unable to like get because of the worldwide pandemic, and then magnesium and lithium and all this other stuff. Not that we talked about some of the car things yesterday. The piece on this, and I was looking at a couple of things here as it relates to exactly the goods and the delays. The delays are insane. They said that the consumer price index, though, that measures the goods and services and energy and food costs. They said it's up from, so August was 5.3% year over year, And that matches the 5.4% seen in June and July. And that is the biggest 12-month rise since 08, since before the crisis. And so we're not, it's not like in any kind of recession or, I mean, we're in stagflation. It's not in any kind of recession or anything like that now. But this is, if our economy wasn't so healthy before all of this happened, we would probably be in a depression. Who knows? I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It would be a disaster. But they said that in all of this with food, it's all getting worse. Let me ask you this. Have you, like, when you guys go to the store, what do you see shortages of? Like, what shelves, what are the things that are missing on the shelves? I think that's like the million-dollar question here. Because they were talking about everything from, like, snack foods and, what is it, some of the potato chip stuff. That's honestly at the point where the IRS, if they actually pass this bill with all that IRS bank account monitoring in it, we're going to get popped every time that we buy like a Little Debbie snack cake because it'll be $600 because everything is going to be so serious, so insanely controlled. So this, it's not, I mean, we're not, it's not exactly the, some of the best stuff here to that we're looking at, but the couple of other things here too, of course, you know, energy price. Oil is up. Gasoline climbed another, 1.2% in September from August. It's now 42% increase in terms of cost at the pump than it was a year ago. Yep. Costs are still up more than 24% from a year ago. Airfare. It's weird because I think a lot of people just aren't flying, and yet airfare saw a big drop, though. Price reflecting a drop in demand. At the start of the month, prices tumbled about 6.5%. But food prices are up. That's the biggest worry. Non-alcoholic beverages, that increased. I'd love to see what the increase is on alcoholic beverages, though, because I'm telling you, all this stuff in D.C. drives you to drink before 5 p.m. So we got all that, a bunch of other stuff. So we're going to look at the inflation. We're going to look at also one of these other things that came out. This was, I think, last night because I was focusing on the education story. Biden could be embroiled in the FBI's probe into Hunter's finances. Emails said they shared bank accounts, paid each other's bills, and that the president may have even, well, of course he funded it because they had the same damn card. They had the same card. So they said that he may have inadvertently funded his son's 2018 hooker and blow binge, which of course he did. Emails between Hunter and Eric Schwerin, his business partner at consultancy Rosemont Seneca, show Schwerin was working on Joe's taxes. The claim raises serious questions about whether funds from the joint accounts were used for Hunter's May. I mean, who gives a rat's ass? Holy cow. How many much more excuses are y'all going to be making for this? I mean, everyone sits here and they make fun of red states. I ain't never seen nothing more hillbilly than this. You got a guy who barely has any teeth and had to have them all sawed off to stick some veneers in. He goes and he basically, I mean, his little art project, he's doing the equivalent of selling macaroni necklaces for $700,000 a pop. Taxpayers are basically subsidizing this exercise in vanity. And in the meantime, you got Papa Joe, who's been on the government teat since he came out of his mother's womb. And the whole time these people have gotten rich off this whole thing. They have these business deals with Ukraine and China and everything else. There's hookers and blow, love triangles. You have people dating their dead brother's wife, all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is the most damn hillbilly thing I've ever seen. I don't want to hear any of these people sit here and talk about anybody who's down in Appalachia or anybody who's in the Ozarks. I mean, hell, those people got more values than this. So don't sit here and cast aspersions on the character of people who live in red states. Not when you got a guy who's literally falling asleep with a crack pipe in his mouth and makes home videos for Pornhub. Stop. Good grief. You know what? Maybe if all else fails, he could go to Seattle and be a SoundCloud warlord, like that one dude at Chaz Chop. Man, he could have himself a real job. Go up there to Chaz Chop, do all of that. So, yeah, they said that, and Hunter admitted already that he was under federal investigation over tax affairs. They said money was flowing between the father and son. It could make da 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 da. I said this when all this stuff came out, that he paid for the hooker and blow. Hookers and blow, plural. That's true. It's a true story. They said that they were paying each other's household bills. Remember, apparently Secret Service showed up and was like, give us that card. Remember? That was the whole thing. That was the part of the whole story. There's so many pictures and all this. He hadn't denied any of it. There are so many gross photos. Imagine you're like the teenage. Well, they're not teenage anymore. They're like young adults. They're like in their 20s. Imagine that dude being your dad and he acts like skeezier than like the skeeziest frat dude. Right? Imagine that's your dad. Holy heck, I'd be changing my last name. I mean, there was an email that Schwerin sent to Hunter Biden. Your dad's Delaware refund check came today and deposited it in his account, writing a check in that amount back to you since he owes it to you. Don't think I need to run it by him, but if you want to, go ahead. If not, I will deposit tomorrow. So they're all looking at this stuff. I mean, they were all sharing the exact same money. That's all it is. And then there's all this stuff about him advising, the Schwerin guy advising Hunter Biden on what to say to certain other lawmakers when he would go on business trips with Joe Biden, et cetera, et cetera. He paid for bills paid for their phone bills and the president's lakeside home in Wilmington, and they were all sharing money. At one point, Hunter Biden complained about being shut out of his bank account. He said, too many cooks in the kitchen, too many profile changes, happened 10 days ago. My dad has been using most lines on this account, which I've, through the gracious offerings of Eric, have paid for the last 11 years, he said. See, so Hunter Biden acts like he pays for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden acts like he pays for Hunter Biden. It's the most poisonous codependent relationship I've ever seen. Is there a relationship for, like, any kind of story? It's emblematic, like how psycho was the weird relationship between a damaged relationship between a mother and their murderous son. Is there something like that for the dad and his hookers and blow, completely unstable? He's stable. He's just indulged and entitled. Everyone's like, he's got this problem. He's indulged and entitled. He traveled with his dad. He was campaigning for his dad. Don't sit here and tell me you can't talk about his 50 some odd year old child. Shut up. All kinds of stuff. So why isn't this investigated? Every time, geez, Trump farts and people are all right there. You got the IRS all right there. You got Democrats all right there. Everybody's right there. What was that? What was that? Do you have a receipt for it? It's crazy. So we're going to get into all of this. We got a lot to dump into today as we, because we've got the, oh, I got a ton of woke stuff for you too. And I told you this was going to happen. I told you it was going to happen. Rolling Stone's Brown Sugar has been pulled. Yeah, I told you it was going to happen. I said, you know they're going to come for Brown Sugar, and they did. They came for Brown Sugar, and Brown Sugar has been got. So we'll talk about that here. I know. We'll talk about that coming up as well. What's the perfect companion to cooler weather besides apple spice? The comfort of getting cozy in your new Tommy John loungewear. So when you're wearing Tommy John loungewear, you get more comfort and it looks good enough to wear outside and feels good enough to wear in bed. Tommy John loungewear features thoughtful tagless labels because you cannot be comfortable with those scratchy tags. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics who say that the joggers feel like butter. Tommy John loungewear is guaranteed to fit perfectly with non-pilling micromodal fabric, meaning no lint balls or fuzz, and luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with flexible four-way stretch. Plus, they have a new triangle bra that folks say is as comfy and perfect for all-day wear. Returns and exchanges are always free, and the loungewear and bras are backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Right now, go to TommyJohn.com/Dana to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off. Get cozy this season with the new Tommy John loungewear. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is my favorite story today. So the UN tells Greta Thunberg? I guess it's Thunberg. They tell her to go pound sand. They told her just get out. I can't believe the UN did that, but it was an 18-member of the UN panel. They told a little teenage Swedish climate alarmist and exhibitionist Greta Thunberg to go pound sand. They said that they could not rule on a complaint that state inaction on climate change violates children's rights. And they say that the teenage exhibitionist, you should have taken it to the national courts first. That's it. So she was mad and she was, oh, they did nothing. Nobody cares. Like, where are your parents? Like, shouldn't you be in school? Isn't it homecoming time? Like, do you have a mom like we have in Texas? Like, what are you doing? Also, Maxine Waters says she tweeted yesterday that her Twitter account was hacked and deleted. So I will say this again. She tweeted from her Twitter account that her Twitter account had been hacked and deleted. Literally, that's what she did. She tweeted it. She tweeted, I have been hacked. This was at 10:55 a.m. yesterday. She tweeted, quote, I've been hacked and my Twitter account has been erased. I know who's done this. I will take care of this. M. Waters. It's totally sus. How is it that she's able to tweet if her Twitter account was hacked and erased. I don't know who. I would love to see her debate Joe Biden. They'd both get lost just in the parking lot. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller is expected to plead guilty to some of those charges against him after he criticized the Marines, some of the leadership, following the deadly terror attack in Afghanistan that cost 13 lives of U.S. servicemen, service members. Men and women, servicemen, same thing. I'm not politically correct. Get over it. So Lieutenant Colonel Stu Schiller, he took to Facebook in August after that suicide bombing in Kabul. And he had been in confinement, I guess, at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. So one of his attorneys said that he's going to be pleading guilty in the case, as reported by The Hill. They said it began as a case, as a call for accountability. And that's really what this was. Just true. That's exactly what it was. And I mean, I understand the whole argument about making sure that there's, you know, going to follow the chain of command, et cetera, et cetera. But who watches the watchman? I mean, if he's not held accountable, then who is ultimately? I mean, how do you hold people accountable if they, that's the million dollar question here. So I'm just, you know, I'll give you some of the wokery headlines that we're going to have. I don't know. I've heard of people canceling Christmas and I've heard of people canceling Easter at school. I've never heard of anyone canceling Halloween. I've even heard of Valentine's being canceled because people did not get the same number of Valentines. But a Seattle elementary school has canceled Halloween activities over concerns about student equity and inclusion. Specifically, Seattle Public Schools says that black males do not celebrate, and more generally, students of color feel marginalized by the holiday. One parent said that it was an exercise in affluent white vanity that is wokeism. So, yeah, it's Benjamin Franklin Day Elementary, BF Day, in Seattle's Fremont neighborhood. They have a pumpkin parade where students wear costumes, but the administration now says that they're changing their focus to foundational beliefs around equity for students and families. So they are canceling Halloween. And instead, they're going to just do some fall-themed units. That sounds like fun. Fall-themed units. Wokeism is making everything about childhood suck. You have bitter, angry adults who should have gotten therapy a hell of a lot sooner in life that are ruining everything for kids. I'm so glad that I was a kid before all this wokeism ruined everything. Coming up, now the Rolling Stones pull Brown Sugar. That happened too. We're going to talk about that and a ton of other stuff. Stick with us. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
I mean, you know, given that I wasn't familiar with the song in the past, so it's not something that I have any great sentimental link
to. If you phoned up Kat, she could have listened to it for you and then told you what it was about.
But given that it's meant to be about anti-slavery, it does seem like a slightly odd decision. But do you know what? I mean, look, the people in the Rolling Stones are famously hippies. They're obviously social liberals. They're incredibly forward when they formed in the 60s. So I think they're highly conscious of these issues. I think the question is less about songs like Brown Sugar, but you have other ones like Blurred Lines, the one that was supposedly about sort of, you know, sexual consent. And I think there is a question to be asked about whether some of these songs that become incredibly popular actually have a real effect and a damaging effect on people's social attitudes and how they think about others. And I think
So this what was this guy's name?
Benjamin Butterworth.
And he was, of course, speaking to the Rolling Stones about how Brown Sugar, their song, needs to be cancelled. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. DanaLash.com. So where to start? I know. I said this was going to happen. I'm actually, can I be real? I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner. Really shocked this didn't happen sooner. I was just waiting for it. And then it finally did. So the Rolling Stones have dropped their hit song Brown Sugar from the tour set list. Now, if you listen to Keith Richards, Keith Richards does not sound like he gives one rat's backside about everybody's concern for political correctness. He does not. Whereas Jagger was like, oh, man, I don't know what I was on. It has all the nasty bits in it. That's what he says of his song. That's what he said of it. They wrote this song. What is it? 69? I've seen it everything from 69 to 71. I think there's a difference when they wrote it and then when they actually recorded it. I think they were at Muscle Shoals down in Alabama when they recorded this. Is this the one they did at Muscle Shoals? I think it was. I think this was from that album. So this, I can't believe it's been 50 years. It is like the second most played song. This is the song that when I hear it, I just hear that first chord and I'm like, Rolling Stones. That's it. I just hear it. I have a particular skill set, and that skill set is I can pretty much identify the song in the first bar. Really? Yeah, it's weird, dude.
Like name that tune?
Yep.
You could do that?
Yep. It's really weird. So, and I can, and someone who's totally off key can sing part of it and I can know it, even if they're totally off key. So the song Brown Sugar, the lyrics were considered controversial. Now, isn't brown sugar also slang for heroin? That's what I thought, wasn't it?
I thought that was like brown stone.
No. Well, I think it's all those things.
Is it brown whatever?
Us, the drug experts. We're so wholesome. Like Cain knows all the books of the Bible. We're so wholesome. No, but I think it's slang for heroin. So things always kind of have like a double entendre, sort of like how the Beatles pretty much always wrote about drugs, right? I mean, it's kind of, well, I mean, especially with you know, some of their later albums. So the 1969 song that they wrote, they said that it was a song that's condemning slavery. It definitely does not portray it in any kind of a good light. I'll tell you that. And I always thought it wasn't him just being a pervert. I always thought it was him being on drugs. That's what I thought, right? I mean, if you think about brown sugar as slang for heroin, then that
Keith Richards did them all.
Yeah, Keith Richards. There's no more heroin. Keith Richards did it all. He did it all so much that it actually is keeping him alive now. He has to do it. But there is something to this, though. This with people are saying, oh, there's, you know, you have to, it has to, they have to be canceled. The song has to be removed. It's super racist. It's super. And so they were saying, well, we don't. Keith Richards was saying, he said that he was talking to the sisters about it. I don't know what that meant. I'm reading like an actual quote from him. And he was trying to fit. He was talking about how this song was a condemnation of it and portraying the horrors of it. Over a really groovy, like, you know, rock and roll riff. I'm just saying. So it's one of the most popular songs. But if it depicts the horrors of slavery, then why? So they were asked, LA Times had asked them, what, you haven't played this in forever. It was a hit in 71. They wrote it in 69. And Keith Richards was like, oh, you picked up on that, huh? And he goes, this is his quote from LA Times. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is. Didn't they understand this was a song about the horrors of slavery, but they're trying to bury it. So I don't know what that means. It's Keith Richards. He's like from another dimension. I don't know what that means. So obviously there's a lot of non-consensual stuff, etc. But at the same time, this was written in an era where nobody GAF and everyone just wanted to write. One of the things that the Rolling Stones did, and I will say this, and we don't have that today. I love music. I don't care what era it is, so long as it doesn't suck. And I like a lot more music that's written by the actual artist that's performing it, because there's just something authentic and something raw about it. And with the Stones, one of the things that they did is they were always able to kind of capture the ethos of that period, right? Like they were really able to do that. Like, so this song, if I remember, was this on, let me double check here. So this album that Brown Sugar was on, because if this was their 71 hit, I think this is Let It Bleed. I think this is on the Let It Bleed album. I'm going to double check. That album was amazing. You know, pretty unbelievable. No, this was not on that. I'm incorrect. I was like, oh, I don't think it was.
It was the Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers, that's right. So, but they could capture an ethos. Like they were a blues-based rock and roll band. I love the Stones. And they're one of my favorites. I know. I think I have everything. I have all their stuff. After Love Is Strong, I started kind of getting a little lost. But this was like, it had a party fun beat, but it also, I mean, yeah, he's like, I couldn't, he said in 95, Jagger said in 95, I couldn't write this song now. Okay, I get that. But where is like any, they were able to write music that really captured like an era. So the Let It Bleed album that they had, that's where they had Gimme Shelter, and they had Live With Me, Let It Bleed title track, Midnight Rambler, You Can't Always Get What You Want. That album had a mood. That album was a mood. That was what in, I'm trying to think what year that came out in 69. And that's when they were dealing with all the drugs. And wasn't that right at the concert that they had? That was like right after that Altamont concert. After all the violence that broke out, that was right after, that was like a day after this album came out, they had that issue. And then you had the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and RFK, and there was all kinds of stuff going on with war, Tet Offensive, and all this. And Gimme Shelter, the first track on that, that's one of my favorite songs because it's so, I mean, it's so, that's just a moody, dark, gothic kind of real vibe. I don't know. It's just, it's very, it's heavy. And you know, when you hear it, you're like, that's heavy. That's something's going to go off there. Anyway, I could like get into the whole, I am obsessed with the creation of the song and the background vocals and all that stuff. Anyway, long story short, to cancel all this stuff. I mean, it's one thing. I don't, is there anybody who's alive who's like, oh yeah, all these things are thinking that they were singing about, these were good things. No one's saying this. I mean, and they didn't even say this in the song. It's a good song. And it makes me think of Keishi 95 from in my hometown of St. Louis. That was the rock station. They use that in their commercials and everything. I hear that and I think of Keishi and Rolling Stones, right? You hear that song, what do you think of? I think of being in the, you know, either on the river, on Black River in Missouri, while everybody's barbecuing and playing the Stones, and most of the adults are drunk, so you can light off bottle rockets and unused and the empty beer bottles, and nobody's going to say nothing to you. We tore it up. But, you know, it's a mood, and now, oh, they can't play it. But Keith Richards seems less resigned to this than Mick Jagger does, which I thought was interesting. They all seem very, like, very sensible now. I don't know. But they haven't played it in a while, a long while. Is it that? I mean, the lyrics are, I guess, I don't know. What do you think, Kane? You're a music guy. You like.
Yeah, I'm done with music. I could, if you just read the lyrics as the lyrics, I guess you can see where people would have issues. You know, it was sexualizing black women, essentially, is what it was doing.
Mm-hmm. From the point of a slave owner.
Yeah, I guess, but he talks in the song.
Well, I mean,
about,
they literally say scarred old slaver. That's like one of their lyrics.
Knows what, yeah, scarred old slaver knows what he's doing.
No, so he's doing all right, yeah.
Yeah, so they're talking about that slaver, not as the slaver. Right. But yeah, I guess... You really have to, you know, want to be upset about it, to be upset about it.
I don't know. I just really like that guitar riff. Could they change something on it if worse came to worse? Or maybe just, can people just, I don't know, stop? There's nothing about it. It would be weird to kind of sing that out loud at a concert with other people. In your car is one thing. You know, it's like Gimme Shelter. You wouldn't sing Rape Murder. You wouldn't sing that like that, like outside, you know, with a bunch of people. That's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not one thing that you would sing. You wouldn't sing that.
This isn't the number one pick for karaoke night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I could sit here and go, we could have music. Mary Clayton, by the way, she did the BGVs and for Gimme Shelter. She like had a miscarriage right after she did that. Really? Yeah, that is like a horrible story. And when I hear, because she like showed up in the middle of the night and they asked her as a favor, they're like, oh man, we need somebody. She grew up in a Baptist church in New Orleans. She grew up singing. If you listen to her isolated vocal track, that woman owns everybody who has ever sung after her. That woman could sing rings around. Give me somebody. Give me somebody. I would put all my money on Mary Clayton. Oh my gosh. The emotion, the control. Amazing. I didn't mean for it to be all about music right now, but I don't know, man. I love the Stones. And the thing I was thinking about when I was compiling the rundown is I was like, every really weird era internationally had its own music stamp. Like when the Berlin Wall fell. I mean, I was a little bitty, but still, I know that, you know, my husband, who's a little older than me, but he was in high school when all that happened. And there's some, whether it's U2 and all these other like new wave music acts from that era, that is like music that you associate mentally with that period. And so there's the soundtrack that's created for it. Same thing with Vietnam War. And I would even argue with Gulf War too. There's something with that. So with or any kind of tense period, there's always something, any kind of unrest, there's always some kind of soundtrack. There was a ton of stuff in the 90s with Bush, even with W. But we don't have anything like that now. I think that's one of our problems, honestly. Although if anybody does it, they're going to make it so contrived politically that it's going to be awful.
Look, good music sometimes tells good stories. It doesn't mean that there's some support for the subject matter in the story or anything like that. That's why I think people are getting a little overblown about this whole thing. But I can understand, I guess, where the Rolling Stones would remove it from their set list. But I just think it's a decent story, and that's literally all it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, they're talking about the horrors of something that happened in that time. Now we're going to cancel everything. I don't know. Is it really anything worse than you would hear in like some of Snoop's music? No. I mean, there's even some rock acts that are pretty, you know, I'm just saying. We could sit here and look at some AC/DC songs. I'm just saying. All right. We got a lot more on the way, folks. And you don't want to miss it because we're going to get into, I got more wokery, but we also got to talk about inflation, Christmas. I wrote a really great piece about the desire to see the American appetite for materials, I'll put it like that, move to a more homespun perspective. So that, because the reason that we're in this crisis with the supply chain is because we buy too much crap. So maybe we should, I think you should all look at your purchases over the past, you know, month and look and see what you've ordered. I think you should. We're going to talk about that here coming up, so you don't want to miss. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
I can play drums like on half of this. I just want to, it's just karaoke today. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. This is such an epic beginning to any song. And make sure you go subscribe to that newsletter. There's a big old piece that I had for you last night that came out. And we're actually going to talk to the guy who broke that story, my friend Luke Rosiak. I've been friends with him for years. He's broken a lot of stories and he's very tenacious. And I think that probably people in D.C. when they see Luke come in with his little recorder and that, they probably hate him. But he does a really good job. And this Loudoun County School Board. I right before we came back, I just saw now some of the local media in that area are finally now starting to discuss this. It's amazing. Here's something that y'all may not know about that, and we're going to talk more about this next hour with Luke. But so you know the dad, Scott Smith, the guy who was, you know, his daughter was raped in the bathroom. The school wanted to settle it internally. They tried to hide it. And so when all this was going on, they barred him from going to the school board meetings. And then they surreptitiously snuck the offender to a different school. Well, the individual that's prosecuting him and the attorney, and we're going to talk about this, the county prosecutor, source-funded county prosecutor. This source-funded county prosecutor was actually a part of what they called the Anti-Racist Parents of Loudoun County. It was a Facebook group that these moms, they called them Chardonnay Antifa. They were asking, anybody know any hackers? Remember when we made fun of it? That's the Chardonnay Antifa group. And so they were on Facebook, the members of the school board and these moms that supported them, and this attorney, this prosecutor for Loudoun County. And they were all running down talking smack and how to, you know, dox these parents and do all this stuff. This same prosecutor is now prosecuting this dad for a misdemeanor. She's trying to get jail time for this guy for a misdemeanor of disorderly conduct when they arrested him at that school board meeting. That's when he got that charge. And you all saw that on video. How in the world is she allowed to be involved in this case when she was literally a part of the Facebook group and in the discussions when they were running down these parents and talking about doxing them? We're going to ask Luke Rosiak that coming up next hour. A lot more on the way. Don't miss it.
Dana here. Do you enjoy a glass of wine with dinner? Maybe while in the backyard entertaining friends, unless you're in Australia. Well, let me tell you about one of my best kept secrets, the world's first extreme altitude wine club. My friends over at Bonner Private Wines are a group of Americans who got tired of those flimsy little icky wines that you find at a lot of supermarkets. You know, the kind. It's like a step above Boone's Farm. Cheap throat-burning reds, the syrupy yellow whites. Gag. They set out on a journey miles away from civilization and 9,000 feet in the sky to find some of the world's most remote wines. They almost died trying to bring you this liquid treasure. Pop open one of these bottles and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. Plus, if you love steak and barbecue, you're an American, right? These wines make a great pairing. And today, you can be one of the first to try these extreme altitude wines. Visit conservativewines.com today and you'll get 50% off of your wine and 50% off of your shipping. No middleman, no inflated prices. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Right? They're threatening, brandishing guns. And oftentimes we think of these folks as just simply crazy outliers, but this is actually happening in people's everyday lives. And so we have to understand the stakes. We have to understand the intensity and scale of the crisis we face. There are Americans who are willing to threaten folks, who are risking their lives every day to keep our children safe, who are risking their lives every day to make sure that this republic remains a republic. And we have to respond to this crisis in kind. We have to respond to these folks, not by saying that they're just simply marginal voices, but to respond to them as the threats that they represent to our democracy, it seems to me.
This is Eddie Glaude, who's some kind of academic. I am not a fan. What the heck is he talking? He's referencing the parents and the battle with the school boards. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Coming up later on this hour, my friend Luke Rosiak, who broke the story about Loudoun County Schools, he joins me to go over how insane this story is, because I have a number of questions, because I'm hearing too that the suspect is trying to plead a lesser charges and all kinds of stuff. This is insane. And Eddie Glaude, some of these people that I hear talking about this, I'm like, do you even have children? Do you have kids in public schools? Do you have kids, period? That if you think that people are threats, parents are threats to the democracy because they defend their kids and they question the curriculum. Some of these people have a really warped view of how this country is structured. Parents are the democracy in this republic. Parents are the authority. Everyday average American citizens, we own this government. We own the government. These are our seats. and we can have them back anytime we damn well please. I'm going to tell you more about this story. There's a lot you're not hearing about it because, you know, media time is short. Last night, Luke was on, he was on Tucker, and then the dad, Scott Smith, ended up being on after. I was on with Jesse Waters, who was filling in for Sean. And, you know, they all tried fighting for the same guest. There's, see, when you, the common rule for cable news networks across board is that if you are a guest and you do one show that evening, that's the only show you can do that evening. You can't do multiple shows that night. That's, nobody knows that unless you're, you know, you're doing it. But that's like the rule for cable news networks, because while everybody's under, you know, the same cable news entity, and this is the same, doesn't matter if it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC, doesn't matter. Same as for the morning shows too. Yeah, it's like different day parts. And some of them, some of the shows, no matter what cable news network they're at, they get the, their bookers are competitive and all this stuff. And so there were some people last night who were like, well, why wasn't Luke? Because he was on before. I mean, like, this is how booking works. Learn it. So it was, and I'm glad that they had, I'm glad that they had the dad on, and I'm glad that they had Luke on. And there were, there are other parents out there who are talking to their local media and doing other network hits and all that, and it's good. I think they just asked me because I was in my, we were in the fight here, still in it, actually. We've got another school board election coming up and had a huge fight here, and we're dealing with this stuff. And also because this story is so bizarre because it's two issues in one. It's not just about parents and kids. It's also about protections for women. I happen to be a woman. So it's about protections for women too. This is the thing that people like I, people like J.K. Rowling, so many others have been talking about when it concerns protecting women and those laws that exist for this purpose. Because when you diminish those laws and when you take those laws away, you really do create some dangerous instances. So this story, now we were talking about it yesterday, but there were some parts that are insane. It's not too in the weeds, but you need to be aware of some of this stuff. So long story short, just quick 20-second recap. The dad, Scott Smith, his daughter, a freshman high schooler, May of this year, is raped in the school bathroom by a gender-fluid male student who there were repeated charges filed against him. They did take her to a hospital. They did perform a rape kit. They did get evidence. And the school at first told the dad when he showed up, because the school called him. And they told the dad, Scott Smith, they said, we had an incident. They wouldn't say that it was what it was. They just said, we need you to come to the school. So he went ballistic when he got there and found out. And they told him, you know, we want to handle this internally. And they actually told him, and he was talking about this last night on with Laura Ingraham. They actually told this dad, if you want to get justice for your daughter, you need to keep your mouth shut. Now, he doesn't have to keep his mouth shut to get justice for his daughter. That's not what justice means. The school didn't want the embarrassment of it. This is how they gaslight people. They actually convince his dad that if he did this, then he would, you know, and of course it didn't happen. The school shuffles the kid off to another school where he then sexually assaults another girl. So now he's got multiple charges against him now. And I from what I've been reading, it looks like he's trying to plead to a lesser charge. So I don't know. We'll see. We're going to talk to Luke about this. So this dad, when he goes to that school board meeting that you all saw on camera, where they're about to take this vote on the trans bathroom policy at their school, that's when he was trying to speak, but they wouldn't let him speak and they wouldn't let him talk. And then what ended up happening is one of the other Chardonnay Antifa, I'm going to get to that in a minute, one of the moms who supports the school board came up to him and she confronted him, Jackie Schwarm. He was wearing a shirt of his plumbing company and she said, she threatened him, and apparently this is all on camera, that she's going to ruin his company. Because I guess her husband doesn't give her enough attention at home, so she's got to threaten people and do this stuff. So, I said it, fight me. So, this dad ends up, you know, he's getting taunted by the people who support the school board. So, he yelled, they yelled at him, he yelled back, and he's yelling, and they arrest him, and he resisted, and they took him to the ground. So, he got a disorderly conduct charge for that. If you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, you're watching that arrest that ended up getting him the disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor. Now here's where it gets weird, and this is what I'm gonna, one of the things I'm gonna ask Luke about. So Buddha Bibaraj, who is the county's corrupt prosecutor, she was funded by George Soros to almost $1 million. By the way, her Republican opponent only spent $113,000 on the whole thing. She had to have like $1 million from Soros. No kidding. She won with less than 1% of the vote. Buddha Bibaraj. She is a member. So here's where we get to Chardonnay Antifa. I'm so sad that I never came up with that name myself. The parents who supported the school board, and some of them, apparently, there were a couple school board members themselves. They formed this Facebook group called the Anti-Racist Parents of Loudoun County, and they participated in discussions that focused on compiling information on the kids. We talked about this with Ian Pryor before, because Ian Pryor lives out there in Loudoun County. They targeted Ian Pryor by name. They targeted his wife. They were going at him. And they were saying, we got to ruin their businesses, cancel them. You know, does anybody know hackers? Like, can you, cringe, so cringe. One of the, can I speak to the manager, Target Karens, decided in Chardonnay Antifa to pipe up and ask that. There's screenshots. That's how we know all of this. I mean, there's literally screenshots of all of this. So they were compiling information on the kids, too, of the parents who were criticizing the board and the parents. So Bibaraj is involved in these conversations. She's in the discussion thread, the county prosecutor, like the top prosecutor. So now Scott Smith is going to court. This chick shows up to personally prosecute him. Buddha Bibaraj to personally prosecute him for a misdemeanor. Now, the family attorney for the Smith said that is so ridiculously unusual. And so I reached out and asked a lawyer friend of mine who is a lawyer in California, is kind of a moderate. They're not totally Republican, but they're actually now wanting to, they're getting red pilled. They're in the process of getting red pilled, which is why I'm not saying names. But they're a criminal attorney. And I said, how unusual is this? And I'm like, here's the situation of it. I didn't actually give them any details as to what this was until after. And my friend wrote back and was like, well, that's just dumb. Why would this misdemeanor even make it this far? Why would somebody try for jail time for a misdemeanor disorderly conduct? This is silly. I'm like, that's what I thought. And then I gave more information and said what this was about. And my friend was like, oh, that's totally political. That's politically motivated. Of course it is. And they agreed with not just the Smith family attorney, but other attorneys that have spoken to local media in Loudoun County and in and around that Virginia area saying, yeah, this is really weird that this woman would show up. Now, apparently, and Luke has a piece, and I'm going to have him explain this. She actually had to be forced, this Buddha Bibaraj, they had to force her to forcefully remove her from a case previously that involved someone else that she was in on the anti-racist Facebook group that's called Chardonnay Antifa. Anti-racist is what the Marxists call themselves, but they're actually racist. They're literally promoting racism and segregation. So she actually showed up to try his case, a misdemeanor disorderly conduct. It's just bizarre. And this, all of this, have you noticed Newsbusters went, there was nothing on this from ABC, CBS, let me look up. I think they said all of them. I don't think, now there were some local, but it was mostly like in and around in Virginia that were starting to kind of cover it. But, oh my gosh. So it's a mess. This is crazy. And so now, so Ian Pryor, actually just about 10 minutes ago, he goes, which member of the Loudoun County public school system corresponds under the pseudonym of Timothy Smith? We'll get those receipts too. So now they're apparently like creating all of these, the people who support the parents and the school board, because some of the school board members are there with Chardonnay Antifa. They apparently support the school. They're questioning their... Some of the discussions, they were questioning the girl's mental health. They were running down the family. They mocked the appearance of Scott Smith and his wife. They were mocking the fact. And here's where it gets like, he's a plumber. And I know some people look down on that, but I'm sorry. Look, some of y'all plumbers are making a hell of a lot more than these Tony Richie Rich people that come from these blue blood, longtime progressive Democrat families that go and spend six figures to get a degree in women's studies. So all these people with their stupid money management can sit down. They're so snotty about hard work. I cannot stand that. Where would they be if it wasn't for all those people doing that hard work, though? So there's, oh man, there's so many receipts out there. So many. And everyone's asking Terry McAuliffe because he's running for governor. Everyone's like, are you going to meet with these parents? Now, 7 News DC was one of the first outlets to start actually reporting on this outside of people like Luke Rosiak and Ian Pryor and everybody else breaking this. And so now they're writing about it. They say multiple sexual assaults dominate public comment at Loudoun School. Now, here's the other thing. Now other parents are coming out. So Haley Millen Bauer, who is a news reporter at Loudoun Now, says that before Scott Smith's daughter was allegedly assaulted, a group of alumni found over 300 students at their school had experienced assault or harassment. They say that Be Better Woodgrove members say that the school district hasn't done enough to protect survivors. Now, let me ask you this last question before we go into headlines. Then we got Luke joining us. If you're in a school district and you're already having issues with assault and battery, why do you make young girls more vulnerable in the bathroom? Thank you. $1 million question. They don't have anybody standing in there. Why would you make girls more vulnerable in the bathroom? So we have a lot to discuss. This story is huge because it's not just the parents versus DOJ, because it shows you who really the terrorists are. But this is also showing you, this is a huge thing on really women's protections too. With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, I'm giving credit where it's due. I'm giving credit to Harvard. They're snubbing China for Taiwan. America's top university has moved language classes to Taipei after blasting what they described as, quote, unfriendly anti-American attitudes, end quote, in Beijing. Harvard University is relocating its summer language program from Beijing to Taiwan for summer of for 2022. And they said there was a lack of friendliness from their host institution. They said that you would usually hold a 4th of July celebration every year, but the Beijing Language and Culture University said no, wouldn't hold it, wouldn't provide any dorms for their students. And this tells you also how the relations between the United States and China are souring. But good on Harvard for doing this. iPhone production slides due to chip shortage, and Apple stock is taking a hit as a result of this. This was hours after Apple announced the date of its next major product event, and it's being reported that they're likely slashing production targets for the iPhone 13 by as many as 10 million units because of, quote, prolonged chip shortages. According to BBG, Apple was previously expected to produce 90 million new phones for the last 3 months of this year. Now it's telling all its subcontractors and manufacturing partners that it's going to be lower because Broadcom and Texas Instruments are struggling to deliver enough component chips. Pretty harsh. We have also Amazon getting in trouble because they copied products and rigged search results to promote their own products. We'll talk more about that coming up. Luke Rosiak on that Loudoun County public school fight next.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
The 3 months, but Basically, my daughter was sexually assaulted at the end of school in May of last year. And, you know, I went to the school board meeting, you know, to see what was going on because I had seen all this crazy stuff on TV. And I went to see what was going on after my daughter had been assaulted. And, you know, there was some crazy stuff being talked about, you know, people for things, for against things. I wasn't there for any, you know, I'm good with gay people, cross-gender people, everybody, anybody who wants to be a good American, I'm good with. I went there to find out why our children weren't safe. We were under the impression from the prosecutor that this sexual predator was being held on in-house arrest with an ankle monitor and would not return to school until these court sessions were done. That if I wanted justice for my daughter, that I needed to keep my mouth quiet and not speak out, because in order to get justice for my daughter, which is the most important thing to me, of course, was to not come out and let justice prevail. That's really,
this makes me so angry. That's Scott Smith, the dad, in the case that everybody's now talking about in Loudoun County, Virginia. And I watched that last night, and as a parent, I felt so bad. I felt so mad and so bad for him, because he was pressured into thinking that the only way that he would ever be able to get any kind of anything done for his daughter was if he was just quiet and silent. He was speaking with Laura Ingraham last night. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. My friend Luke Rosiak broke the story about this bombshell case, which I think has completely changed this entire narrative as to who the real domestic terrorists are. I've told you all about the fight that we had here in our area with our school district. And this situation in Loudoun County, it's two issues kind of in one. You got women's protection, but then you have this situation of a dad fighting to get justice for his daughter, who was not only wronged by the school, but they covered it up. And then some of the members of the school board and their surrogates were attacking the family. Luke joins us now. I know he's been a very busy man. Luke, first of all, if it's not breaking stories about computer hard drives with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all, you know, everything else, you've broken some of the biggest stories, I think, and most underreported stories in the past like 5-6 years now. And this story, this is amazing. And first off, thank you for writing about this, because, you know, this is a whole, there's one thing to be a pundit. It's another thing to be a parent. And it's terrifying to be a parent right now. It's terrifying. This case with Scott Smith, I think a lot of people across America saw themselves in Scott Smith. Talk to us about where things stand. Where is everything with the latest on this? Because as we understand now, there wasn't just one case. There were two cases. And he has now, because of that viral video that we've all seen, this misdemeanor disorderly conduct charge. And from your piece, we're to understand that the corrupt Soros-funded prosecutor is actually showing up herself to prosecute this misdemeanor charge. What's the latest?
Well, apparently there was just complete pandemonium at the Loudoun County School Board meeting. They just happened to have a meeting last night and people were out for blood. The school system never really told me anything before the story. They put out a statement an hour ago that they never bothered to send to me, but it doesn't say much. It just says, you know, student privacy, blah, blah, blah. They do seem to acknowledge, you know, what I reported, that there was a sexual assault allegation and an arrest 4 months ago. And then another one by the same kid last week. They said they did refer it to police, originally in May. My story says, when Scott Smith got the call in May that his daughter was in a, quote, she was physically assaulted in the bathroom, what he found is, this was not a physical assault. You guys don't seem to be worked up about it at all at school. You're underplaying it. And Scott says that, I've corroborated that they called the police on him for being an unruly parent, because he was so mad that his daughter had apparently been raped and that the school system didn't seem to be doing much. So they did call the police on him back in May. But they also, you know, somehow, probably, you know, whether it was because the cops came originally to harass him, and when they were there, they found, holy cow, this is real. the kid was charged with felony forcible sodomy. But the school board then 3 weeks later told the public it's a, quote, red herring to have concerns about transgender because Time magazine says there's no such thing as a transgender predator, and our statistics at Loudoun County Schools say we've never had a bathroom assault. And so that's not addressed at all in the statement they just put out. Another update in the last couple hours is that the Loudoun County Sheriff Department has confirmed some of the most important aspects of the story on the record to other news outlets, including the Daily Mail in England and Fox News. So I had quite a bit of independent evidence that I had gotten on my own while they were hiding. Everyone was hiding behind their juveniles, so we can't say anything. This story is, it's seen additional corroboration in the about 24 hours since it went online at the Daily Wire.
And that, and some of that corroboration, we're talking to Luke Roziak with the Daily Wire, who broke the story about Loudoun County Public Schools and the dad, Scott Smith, whose freshman daughter had been raped in the bathroom this past May. One of the things that immediately I saw a lot of people go in on was, oh, well, where's the evidence? Well, there was, and from what I understand, it was confirmed that she had been taken to a hospital where a rape kit, they actually performed the evidence gathering procedures for that kit, and they actually were able to obtain evidence, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Correct. The lawyer told me they did a sane examination and a buccal swab, and both came back favorable to the case. And, you know, this, remember, this is the same prosecutor that tried to put the dad in jail. The juvenile, it's kind of a different branch of the prosecutor's office that handles juvenile crimes. But the fact that they pursued this case, you know, kind of speaks for itself. I mean, they were going for a conviction. They had a plea deal in the works for felony sex assault that would have put this kid on the sex offender registry. I mean, this was a legit case, and the school board, the school system didn't tell anyone. The kid wound up at a different school a mile away, even as they told parents, you know. So basically this happened in August on, the timeline is May 28th, the first assault happens. June 22nd, they try to pass the transgender policy. There's a lot of chaos, and the victim's dad is arrested. August 11th, they finally passed the policy, but by that time the dad has been received a no trespassing order and gone through court. And then October 6th, there's a new arrest against the same kid.
Wow.
So they had just kind of moved this kid and hidden the problem, and now we have, unfortunately, another girl who's been victimized.
And I'm going to ask you about that second case in a minute. One of the things that you had posted, talking with Luke Roziak of Daily Wire, that you had posted in your story was that the school was going to handle it internally, whatever that means. And of course, obviously, that would make anybody mad if that was their child that had just been violated like that. Do you have any idea what they meant by that? Because it sounds like the meaning was do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the dad showed up at the school and he was mad because he felt like they didn't seem to be doing much of anything. And he says that like six cops showed up to get him to deal with this unruly
parent. Not the suspect, to go after the dad who's upset.
And so now, as of an hour ago, the school's claiming, well, we were going to, and we ultimately did tell the cops, and they're claiming, well, we were always going to, but there's strong evidence in my original story that suggests they were more interested in the dad. The principal sent out an all community email the afternoon of this incident, and he said, our community, our student body, there's no threat to our student body, but there was an incident today with an unruly person who shouldn't have been on campus. That's why students saw the sheriff's department at our facility. If you needed to get counseling from having to see some police officers, our counselors are available to you. He explicitly said there was no harm, no threat to the student body. And so there was one incident today, and it was this father.
And it no mention about the rape in the bathroom. Wow. Talking with Luke Roziak of the Daily Wire, whose bombshell story has just completely changed this whole DOJ versus parents and parents of domestic terrorists narrative. The second case. Now, we don't know a lot about this. It's not as public, at least from what I've seen, Luke. The details aren't as public as no one's dad showed up at a school board meeting for this one. It doesn't mean it's any less. I mean, we just don't know exactly what that entails, but we do know that the suspect and this the accused who's been charged with felony forcible sodomy in this case went on to reoffend after he was trained, after he was put into a different school a mile away, you said. Do we know anything else? What have you learned about the second case? Have the parents spoken out?
So the Loudoun County Sheriff typically does not put out press releases about juvenile incidents. Okay. I believe they put out a press release on October 6th because they wanted to put pressure on the school system for covering up the first one, mm-hmm. and because they knew it was the same kid. So they got, you know, they put out a press release saying a 15-year-old kid whose name we're not going to say because he's a juvenile was arrested at this particular school, Broad Run, for the forcible abduction of a child, a girl who was held in an empty classroom and sexually assaulted. I was able to learn the identity of that from a government official, the identity of that unnamed juvenile, and it was the same name as the person in the previous case. So, you know, the first one was in a bathroom, the second one was in an empty classroom. And you know, it's kind of like, you got to remember last year the schools were closed most of the year. So when this kid did this thing in May 28th, that was kind of like right after he got back in school from coronavirus. Right. And then they had summer, and then October 6th, that's right near the beginning of the school year. So it's almost like this guy barely took any time off between alleged sexual assaults.
Right. No, it sounds like school. A predator in the making for sure. Talking with Luke Rosiak with the Daily Wire. Luke, talk to me about this prosecutor. Because you go into, in your story, the disorderly conduct prosecution and this Buddha Bibaraj, which I'm sure I'm not getting her name correctly, but you get into her history a little bit and how she like won with what, 1% of the vote. And she also she was disqualified from a previous case because of the relationship, as I understand it, that she had to the individual involved. Apparently, they were all part of that, what everyone calls Chardonnay Antifa, that anti-racist Facebook parents of Loudoun County on Facebook. Talk to me about this, because I'm astonished that she has not been forcibly removed from this case involving Scott Smith.
Yeah, you know, Loudoun, I broke a story a while back about that, what's become known as Chardonnay Antifa. A lot of attempts to intimidate and silence parents who dare to be involved in school policy. There's a lot of people who think that schools are the fiefdom of administrators and teachers unions and this small cartel of activists. And they truly thought it was theirs. And if a regular parent showed up, they'd say, are you lost? Why are you here? And so they started badgering all of these people. But Buddha Bibaraj is one of these George Soros backed prosecutors. Soros funded $800,000 to her campaign to run for county prosecutor in this mid-sized suburb. $800,000 is like people crazy. Don't spend that much on a local race.
Yeah.
And so even with all that money, that took her over the line to win by literally 1%. Loudoun County is not a far left place, but it has now one of these Chicago style prosecutors or LA style that's like, we're not going to bring charges. We got to end mass incarceration. And so she's letting hardcore criminals out of jail all the time. And she's the chief elected prosecutor, so of course she's got a team of assistant DAs that work for her and do all the work. Well, when Scott Smith was charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct, it wasn't an assistant DA who showed up, it was the actual top prosecutor. And she sought jail time, which is an unheard of disposition for disorderly conduct. So they were coming at him hard, and it was clearly because he was expressing an alternative view to the sort of entrenched cartel of far left people that had embedded in this school system. And, you know, people are trying to recall the school board members, but under Virginia law, the prosecutor plays a role in this. So we're kind of in a tough spot here. We're heading into the governor's race where Terry McAuliffe says parents shouldn't play a role, but education has become the issue in Virginia because national politics honestly don't even matter compared to this stuff. And you've said, you've been such a champion of this, Dana. Local politics, people are waking up, right? It's what matters. It's where we can make a difference.
Absolutely. And well said. And you've been fantastic at covering this. There's no one better, honestly. And I tell people this, I'm like, there's nobody better than Luke Rosiak when he gets a hold of a story for the love, which is good. It's good for us. Last question for you, Luke. Luke Rosiak with Daily Wire. How does this end? Because because this prosecutor is involved, as you just said, with any school board recalling, and then this case with the dad, and then, of course, Terry McAuliffe and the parents. And then at the very center of it, you have this freshman high schooler who now the whole nation at the most vulnerable time in her life knows what happened to her. And yeah. I cannot imagine this. I mean, what Scott Smith said last night, he said that him and his wife had to rebuild their daughter over the summer, and it broke my heart. How does this end?
You know, I think that's this ends with Americans stop viewing the other side as evil. A lot of people saw Scott Smith and they said, I know why he's here. He's a bigot. He hates gays. He's evil. And they're on that Facebook Chardonnay Antifa saying people who don't agree with us are evil. Americans are not evil. We must stop demonizing people. Scott Smith was a human being. We need to learn our lesson here. A lot of people screwed up big time when they put him as the avatar of domestic terrorism. They're wrong. We've got to come together and understand that it's okay to have differing views, and we all have reasons for believing what we do. The other thing I'll say is I think this has got to end with the Virginia governor's race, because things are going to get real bad real fast in Virginia if we can't get a hold of these schools. The things they're doing are not Democratic policies. They're much worse than that. There are people that, you know, are Bill Clinton voters, kind of normal people that traditionally vote Democrat, who are saying, look, I'm not a Republican, but what's going on in the schools right now, I've got to cast a vote against Terry McAuliffe and for Glenn Youngkin, because honestly, do I hate, you know, Republicans more than I love my own kid? I've got to do what's best for my kid, because this is nuts.
That is a heavy realization when people get to that point. I tell you, Luke Rosiak with the Daily Wire, always phenomenal work. Please keep us updated. Of course, we'll be watching whatever you put out as always, but phenomenal job on this. And I don't know if this girl would be getting justice had you not written the story. I really don't think she would have. Thank you so much, Luke. You're just
great
American
you again,
hero.
Dana.
Thank you. Good to see you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up the second hour of broadcast. That's how woven all of that stuff is. It's just unbelievable. She's also involved in the recall of the school board. Oh my gosh. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness, and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Y'all, do I have a Florida Man story for you right now? So apparently, Ron DeSantis, Florida Man Ron DeSantis, and the CEO of the Florida Ports Council, Michael Rubin, they've extended an invitation to languishing ships to travel southeast and fill their ports in Florida. They say Florida is not only ready but able to handle the offloading and distribution of goods across the country, according to YTVW. I mean, best dad, Ron DeSantis, right there, Florida Man. Folks, stay with us. We got a lot more in store. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
We're seeing it. I mean, everything that you've read is what we are seeing as well. Honestly, by June, we had already had the same number of cost increase requests from manufacturers that we got in the whole of 2020, and it just seems to continue to accelerate. Of course, we run it through our commodity strategy team to make sure that the costs are warranted. Anywhere we can push back, we always do, and anywhere we can absorb the cost for customers, we try to do that as well. But honestly, everything continues to get more expensive right now.
Yeah, so that's the giant food store CEO Nicholas Bertram says everything is becoming more and more expensive. We know that. we're seeing it. That's, by the way, that's the taxes that they would just look at it as a tax because that's kind of what it is. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And you can go sign up for the newsletter, download the Odyssey app. You can listen too in Virginia. We have a number of affiliates in Virginia. Y'all can listen on that Odyssey app there as well. 12 to 3 every day, Eastern. So, a couple things here. I was just telling you, because this just came across as we were going to break, finishing up our conversation with Luke Rosiak, which is going to be available on YouTube. And I have another update about that because there was something that came out while I was on air, and he alluded to that in our discussion. But this, I called it Good Guy Florida Man. I jokingly say best mom Ron DeSantis because he's like basically just cleaning up everybody's garbage right now and trying to get everything to work and holding the line. Bear with me. I'm pulling this right up because it just came out. They sent out a statement and they were discussing the supply chain, right? The supply chain issue. And apparently, Governor Ron DeSantis is just inviting everybody out to Florida to unload and do all their stuff in Florida. Okay. Because all the ships they said it's a four week delay to unload. And they said that some people, because now containers, they're dealing with a run on containers, and that some American buyers, it's like cheaper to they have to send it to, if they're coming, bringing something in from Shanghai, they have to send it there and back. Can I ask, have you all seen what China's been doing? Have you all seen? I'm just asking. Some of you are out there going, I seen it. I know. But I'm just, if we were not such consumers, I am just as guilty as the rest of you. If we all did not do this, we would not be having this problem. We also would not be so reliant upon China. And if we could have, and this goes for public and private sector, I don't have an issue with private sector unions because you have the right to organize. Public sector unions, when you force me out of the negotiation and I pay you, I got a problem with that. But I do think that we need to have a discussion about why we are in the position that we are and why so many things have been sent overseas, manufacturing and everything else, so that we can have something that's sustainable and we can have jobs here and we can be self-reliant, because it all comes back to national security and being able to make our own stuff and rely upon our own stuff. I like that, because now you're seeing what's happening. Particularly, can we just start with antibiotics? Can we just start with the basics, medicines and stuff? That'd be awesome. What happens if China decides, they've been practicing beach invasions in China, right across the straits from Taiwan, because they're trolls, but also because they're really trying to get to the point where they can make something happen. But they can't make it happen if they're, and we're funding it. They're going to get to a point where they don't care if they're on they're reliant upon an export economy. We're getting them to that point every time we purchase. I go out of my way to the point where I won't do it. If I can't find it, not made in China, I don't need it. That's how I am. I don't buy it. I have been doing real soul searching with every single time I purchase. You want to know what I did? This is how crazy I get. I needed a stupid wooden spoon. I needed a stupid wooden spoon for some of my doughs in that, right? Because I don't like with the plastic and the silicone I use for just different stuff. Do you all know how hard it is to find a damn wooden spoon made here in the United States? I mean, I get it that we don't have factories of whittlers or wood whittlers or whatever, but so I actually went on Etsy and I was like, I want to know that this was carved by an American craftsman. I'm like, I don't care. And my oldest son was like, okay, you're not purchasing an heirloom that you're going to be passing on to me. It's not like I'm going to be like, and this was my mother's wooden spoon. Like, that's not the point. The point is that I don't want to give money to China. And he's like, but it's literally a wooden spoon. It's $2. If not even that. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. So I did. I bought my wooden utensils off Etsy. Literally hand whittled. No joke. And they were like, that's all. And it was just like this mom and pop shop. They're actually in Pennsylvania. Did you know that? Mom and pop shop. And because they were on Etsy, I'm pretty sure that they weren't goth AF, with the Amish, yeah, which is still so goth. So cool. But I was reading about that's how they make their living. I'm like, oh my gosh, Soho, I love that. Like, so self-sufficient. I love it. That's awesome. That's one of the things, actually, that I've always been super, and I'm being really honest here, because I always think that the people who have a skill, who have a craft, who have like a trade skill, I've always been so jealous of those people. And, you know, my husband's like, well, Dana, you know, being able to talk is incredibly important. And, you know, that's also a skill. Sam Adams, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I get it. But sometimes I really don't view it that way. Right. Like, sometimes I think it's nuts that I'm like, I'm in the position I'm in because of my mouth. This is ridiculous. Like, as I talk, it's insane to me, for real. Like, there are people who like carve marble, and, you know, I'm like, what in the world? It's just so weird to me, because they have this tangible skill, and I've been fascinated by that. Fascinated. And the people who make it look easy, and then when you try to do it and it's a mess. Have you ever tried glass blowing? I am not wonderful at it. And was in this like really awesome workshop for this glass, and that's literally what they do. It's, and they trained like third generation, actually fourth generation, I think. And they do like, you know, light fixtures and all kinds of stuff, but they blow glass and they do ornaments and all this here in Texas. A couple of years ago, it was in there. They make it look so easy. It's like a dance. And the way they do it, I was just mesmerized. Because then when they're like, would you like to try? And I'm like, yeah, maybe I've learned something. Nope, didn't learn a thing watching you. Clearly, it was a mess. But I know what my skill set is and what it isn't. But I've always been incredibly jealous of the people who have that tangible skill, that craftsmanship. I'm kind of getting off topic, but can I just tell you? So I found my new favorite social media account. It's like Architects Against the World or something like that. It's a bunch of architects who hate modernity. And literally their entire account is making fun of old neighborhoods where they have these beautifully crafted homes and the brick and the, and then they, somebody puts this like turret of a monstrosity modern thing right there. And it just, and I'm actually, so I'll make sure, I'll, if you want, I can put this in prep if you feel like reading it, because I get off on these really weird tangents right now. And so I was reading about this and they were lamenting the craftsmanship, even from bricklaying, from masonry, whether even it's, you know, people who work with like actual pipe or steel, plumbing, anything that is a trade, anything where you actually have to have some kind of motor skill with your hands. And I was reading about all of this and they have like these photographic examples. And I'm like, oh my gosh, after I was reading this, I'm like, that is ugly. And then they were talking about the materials used. And so they had this whole sidebar where they were weighing the materials that actual craftsmen would use when they would build homes. And then today when someone wants to throw up a modern structure. And then they had all these examples of these modern structures that went up in the 70s that they already had to tear down because they just didn't last. Meanwhile, the stuff that was built with great simple materials has lasted the test of time and is still up. Yes, it's all about maintenance as well. But when you use materials that last, you actually can maintain them, you know? And I was reading this and it made so much sense. And they completely tore apart like the Netherlands, because apparently that's where it's like the worst. I don't know. I'll just share it with you. But I was thinking about all of this, and this all gets into that spirit of craftsman, homespun, everything. And taking it back, do we really need to buy something and have it route through, you know, Southeast Asia and come through Los Angeles? And I'm just like, if you can't find it here, do I need it? Really? For the things like medicines and that we, unfortunately, because of our politicians, we are forced to rely upon China for right now. I get it. Can we maybe, I don't know, can we like kickstart a place here to do it? I mean, I don't know. I'm just wondering. Can we? Like have the dads build the wall? By the way, you know how many of you dads reached out and were like, I'll build it.
Right. I saw that.
Dude, I had people telling me like what drill bits and stuff they could. I'm not even joking you. I was dying laughing reading some of y'all's emails. I had tears in my eyes. I was crying. Oh, man. So I just, that to me, I have all these stories where it's like supply chain. But I'm telling you, it would be so much easier if we were a little bit more homespun. Don't you think so? But I did. I went that out of my way for a wooden spoon. I love that wooden spoon. I use that wooden spoon, and I hate communists every time I stir. I'm like, this is how much I hate communists. Mm. And then when I would do like the oil and nut on it after it starts drying out, and I maintain it, it's good as new. That's my I hate commies spoon. Really is. I'm very proud of that spoon. Like, I'll go, and then I'll talk about it like an old lady forever. Like, Kane, look at this. I got it. I went and I didn't get it from China. I do that to you. All right. So, yeah, even Christmas trees. It's affecting Christmas trees. Everybody's taking pictures of empty shelves. Panic buying does go into some of that, right? I mean, it really, let's be honest, it does go into some of that. So don't panic buy. I mean, you're going to have enough. It's going to be fine. Just chill. Some of the other things we're watching here, too. Man, I got a lot of wokery. And then we're going to talk about cancel culture here coming up with American Principles Project. They got ripped off of YouTube. So a couple of things here. We were talking about the Netflix thing. I was discussing the Lego gender bias thing also. Do you really need to? It's a block. It's a block. You put blocks together. How do you remove gender bias? What? Some of them are houses. Some of them are girly stuff. Some of them are, who cares? Just make your stupid blocks. Nobody cares. We're just too sensitive as a people. We have more to come. I have a very interesting headline for you. It's not totally a headline, but I wanted it. I didn't know where else to put it in the show, so I put it in the headlines. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to speak with John Schweppe, Director of Policy and Government Affairs. So it's, you might think, oh, it's a think tank thing. It's not. Well, yes and no. They got pulled off of YouTube because people didn't like their, ironically, people did not like their video on woke and cancel culture. So you hurt their feelings. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, interesting. There's two election employees who were fired for allegedly shredding voter applications in Georgia. That's not legal. No, it's not. It's in Fulton County, Georgia. They were fired after allegations surfaced that they shredded voter registration applications over the last 2 weeks. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger called for the Department of Justice to investigate in a Monday statement, saying that after 20 years of documented failure in Fulton County elections, Georgians are tired of waiting to see what the next embarrassing revelation will be. So the unidentified worker shredded 300 municipal election related ballots. So makes me wonder what's going on. What other ballots did y'all? Just saying. I'm just, you know. Also, a couple of other things to look at here. U.S. Pentagon's ex-software chief says that China has won the AI battle. Great, robots who hate freedom. Reuters, China's won the artificial intelligence battle with the United States and is heading toward global dominance because of its technological advances, says the Pentagon's former software chief to the Financial Times. It's the second largest economy in the world. They're likely to dominate many of the key emergency technologies. See, so this is why it's so important to be economically first, because people go where the money are. And you can't fix that because people are faulty, wicked, wretched little creatures. And that's how it always will be. There's a reason why it's like you can't have two gods. You got to pick one. So, but some people pick government, and that's not right either. Nicholas Challen, the Pentagon's first chief software officer who resigned in protest against the slow pace of technological transformation in the U.S. military, said the failure to respond put the U.S. at risk. says we have no competing fighting chance against China in 15 to 20 years. Well, that's terrifying. I tell your kids to code. We need people in STEM. My youngest actually said something super smart. He said that coding and computer languages should be taught as a second language, and it's a shame that they're not. That's like one of the smartest things I've heard anybody say. It's my child. I wish I had something to, you know, do with him learning, being all in the coding. It's just what he went to. Wendy's manager doused patron with hot fry oil, according to the Smoking Gun. This is awful. It was a drive-through dispute. And Wendy's in Tennessee, it turned felonious. Restaurant manager doused a customer with hot oil. What did the customer do? The shift manager is facing aggravated assault following the confrontation. The verbal confrontation was captured also on store surveillance footage. And they, Pritchett, the guy through the drive-thru, was conducting a cash refund. He returned to the restaurant's kitchen, got some scalding oil, took it from a deep fryer. He got burns. The victim got burns on his side, left side and arm. It showed extensive blistering. That's not good. So there's going to be some, yeah, there's going to be some lawsuits there. So coming up, we have a number of things to get into, including YouTube taking down another account. We'll talk to the American Principles Project next.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
You know, I think a lot of times people don't have a really positive image of the government, you know, and what the government does. So I think it's important that we get out the message, like, because of the Biden-Harris administration and what they've done through, you know, the American Rescue Plan.
So this is, I had to play that. That's Jill Biden saying, yeah, a lot of people just don't trust the government. It's just really crazy. Yeah, they don't trust the government, and they don't trust entities that they used to be able to share their dissent and have discussions on, these platforms, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. We've talked about this. We've spoken with Senator Josh Hawley. We've gotten into it from the libertarian side, the conservative side, the Republican side. I mean, the bottom line is, when you have companies that are acting as agents of change, yes, you can absolutely say corporate censorship. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. One of the things that we've seen this with, of course, has been with the American Principles Project. This is insane. So I watched this video because I saw this headline, and I don't know why. I guess I'm trained to think something bad's going to be in this video if it's banned. They're probably selling drugs to kids or something. I don't know what I thought. I'm looking at this video, and I'm watching, and the American Principles Project, they had this video, and they were absolutely censored by, corporately censored by YouTube. It said that we reviewed your content. We found severe repeated violations. They did a video about wokeism in schools, and it was not at all controversial. They condemned the institutionalized Marxist racism that is CRT. But YouTube decided that's, nope, they're dangerous. So they shut down their whole account. This is insane. You can't even have honest conversations anymore. Joining me right now with all of this is John Schweppe, who's Director of Policy and Government Affairs at the American Principles Project. You're a rebel now, John, apparently. I mean, making bad videos with wrong think, full of wrong think. Did they actually, other than saying it, there was repeated violations, because I was looking at what they sent you, and I was looking on your Substack at what they sent you. Did they actually, like, go through and say why anything was wrong, or was it just like a vague, you violated something?
It started that way. I think they started to adjust once they saw members of Congress and senators on Twitter talking about it. But eventually they blamed Steve Bannon. That's kind of where they settled on it. We had a few interviews of Terry Schilling, our president, and myself on War Room. And so they decided that Steve Bannon was the problem, and that's why they shut down.
I mean, I don't like Steve Bannon, but that's for a different, I would never rip him off YouTube. I mean, I can't stand the man, but I would never rip him off YouTube. That's the difference, because I'm not a statist, though. That's the difference with us. I was looking at your videos. There was nothing wrong with your videos. There was nothing wrong with anything that you've said. There was nothing wrong with any of your interviews. It's not like you guys were talking about burning down buildings and burning, looting, and murdering. So that's, how many of your videos, I mean, did they took down your whole account? Did you ever get your account back? Did they ever reinstate it?
So it's back up, but we have a strike. And so now.
So what does that mean? So explain to people what that means. They don't know.
So way they explained it is if we violate their community guidelines again, we can have our whole account removed. And, you know, the thing is, you pointed this out. I mean, we are speaking against big tech. We're fighting against critical race theory in schools, against this gender ideology. You know, as soon as Google wants to decide we are going to get a strike, we're going to get one. So, you know, I'm sure they'll wait for us to be in the midst of a campaign like Virginia again to do it next time. But look, I mean, they shut us down for 36 hours. We're in the midst of this campaign here. Our organization, our PAC, is running tons of ads here in Virginia. We're, you know, trying to make sure that the Democrat loses. And it's fascinating that Google decided now is the time to go after us for videos that were, you know, months old. I mean, these are just media interviews. Largely, that's what we use that account for, that and political ads. So,
right.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone was assuming, oh, they talked about wokeism, but it's really, they were just like, none of your stuff we like. And so it was probably what some a former barista maybe with a coffee chain that works at YouTube now that decided they don't like you because you're a dirty, evil conservative Republican, so your account has to go. Could this be considered, this is kind of a weird question, because I was thinking about this, you guys were down for quite some time. You, as you just said, you're in the middle of this, I mean, this is a huge campaign because everyone's going to act like this governor can't. This is the bellwether. The Terry McAuliffe, Glenn Youngkin, this Virginia governor's race, this is the bellwether, which in some ways it kind of is. It's the first measure of this reaction that parents and people who are getting red pilled that they're having with everything. The first, you know, real serious pandemic post lockdown election. Is that kind of an in-kind contribution to the McAuliffe if you guys are shut down because of basically wokeism?
Oh, that's a really astute point, because yes, of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, we had this is actually the fourth time we've been censored in the midst of a campaign. We had three political ads censored by Facebook during the 2020 cycle. And we filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission calling it an in-kind contribution, because that's what it is. I mean, if Democrats are allowed to run their ads freely and Republicans or Republican-aligned groups are censored and prevented from doing that, obviously, that's a contribution of the Democrats, which is illegal under campaign finance law. Corporations can't do that. So, you know, I think there's a lot of talk about Section 230, about antitrust, how to go at big tech. But I think campaign finance law is an interesting way, too, because it's pretty clear they are violating the spirit of it at the very least. And we should look at that.
Especially if when you consider that each one of these services, YouTube's no different, you can pay to have things promoted. You can pay to have a different placement or preferential treatment in whatever algorithm is used to make sure that people see whatever video that it is that you're publishing, whether it's, you know, Twitter and how things are ranked and what comes up, Facebook and how videos are ranked, everything. So if people are, I mean, if that's a service and people and many people, you know, participate in that, especially with campaigns, and then somebody gets something shut down. My first question is, I wonder if people get a refund. But secondly, yeah, that's like an equal in-kind contribution to a Democratic campaign. Nobody's really talked about though the FEC, the financing approach to looking at some of this behavior. That's very interesting. We're talking with John Schweppe, who's with American Principles Project. So has this happened to, because YouTube seems to be the most sensitive, sometimes even more sensitive than Twitter, which is kind of crazy. This is how many times in total has this all happened to you, where they've just taken you guys off?
This was actually our first time on YouTube, although as you've heard and I've heard, plenty of content creators on YouTube have been hit, you know, over and over again.
Right. And it's happened to you on Facebook. It's happened to you on Twitter. Yeah, that's a deal. That's a big deal. The Section 230 and redefining algorithms and including this kind of stuff as editorial practices. It amazes me that why can't we do that? Because if they're going to act like, you know, say Washington Post or New York Times, then why don't they get that treatment?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it makes no sense if they've decided that they want to vet all of the content on their platform and pick what gets to survive and what doesn't, then they should be legally responsible for all that content. And they don't want that. They want to have it both ways. They want to have their immunity and I guess eat their cake too. So,
yeah.
But we're pushing on that. And I think, you know, I'm seeing a real, you know, I do a lot of work with people on the Hill, Republicans on the Hill. They seem to understand more and more that big tech is an existential threat, certainly to the security of our elections. And so we need to continue to look at that and actually be willing to do something about it.
Yeah, because this it's the new public square, but it's privately owned, the privately owned public square. But that private ownership is also taking directions from the people who are running Washington, D.C. right now. So it's incredibly convoluted. It's a mess. But I'm glad that you guys got your account back. And I'm so glad that you guys are fighting so hard in Virginia. Really quickly before we go, you know, being in Virginia, that's because it is such an important race. Give me your takeaway. How does this is there going to be victory for freedom? Where are you at? Because I know it's close.
It's going to be so close, but I'll tell you, Dana, you know, it's so impressive seeing Glenn Youngkin on the CRT issue, on the parents at the school boards. He has great instincts. He's coming at it. You know, we've seen so many squishy Republicans in the past who just want to talk about taxes, and he's going at this and really fighting the culture war hard. So, you know, I think it's going to be really close. It'd be amazing if he wins. But it's certainly saying something about what's going to happen in 2022. And as you know, I feel this way. I got my start during the Tea Party wave. Yeah. This feels a lot like the Tea Party. And so I'm interested to see where this goes.
I love that you said that. It does. It feels a lot like the Tea Party, because I heard a term this morning. It's called school board moms, because in the 90s it was soccer moms. Then it became security moms after 9/11. Then now we have the school board moms. And actually during the Tea Party, you had Tea Party moms. So now we have this new wave. It's the school board moms. That's the demo that people like Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin, they need that demo. But they're identifying more with what Youngkin's saying. And I'm hearing a lot of people, including Democrat moms, people who were hardcore. They voted for Biden even. And they're like, no, we can't go with this, because we would like to be free. And they're all saying that education is the big thing that motivates them. So this may be. This may be it. Last quick question before we talk about John Sheppy, American Principles Project. What does this have to do? How will this affect the rest of the nation, the nation's perspective, this race?
Well, you know, it kind of feels like as Loudoun County
You got a lot of weight on your shoulders, John.
Well, as Loudoun County goes, so goes the nation. I really think, you know, what happens here is this CRT issue is, you know, people like Terry McAuliffe saying parents have no role in their children's education. Mm-hmm. Is this going to matter or not? Are we going to be able to save the republic or not? And, you know, I'm optimistic. I think what we're going to see in Virginia is a really tight win, and it's going to inform what's going to happen with the House and the Senate in 2022.
I'm going to get an ulcer watching this race. That's what's going to happen. But I'm glad that we got good people in there and fighting hard. John Sheppy, American Principles Project. Still, I'm glad that you guys got your account back. It's still insane what happened, but good to have you. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time today. Keep us updated. If something happens, holler at us.
Will do. Thank you, Dana.
Sounds good. Take care.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
I'm going up into space. I don't know how many people can say that. It's life-changing. Not because of the aerial adventure, but because of the people I'm meeting and talking with.
I'm glad to be here.
Jeff Bezos' concept to make living and building in space and to make pollution a thing of the past. I mean, what noble ambitions those are, and somebody has to start it.
Lines upright. Yep.
We're just at the beginning, but how miraculous that beginning is, and how extraordinary it is to be part of that beginning.
It's William Shatner, 90 years old, going into space, man. And that was on Blue Origin. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. Good to be with you. I don't like Jeff Bezos because I feel like can be smarmy. And I don't know. I hear so many different accounts. But I do have to celebrate private space flight, because I like the government not being in everything. It's really nice. That was kind of neat. They went up on a very interesting looking ship, capsule, object, and fired off into the sky and came back down. They went into space and they came back right back down. That was actually quite quick. Notice everybody was watching Shatner as he walked out of the vessel, because they were looking to see if he had been blown to bits, I guess. And they were like, you're not dead. Yay. Well, I mean, he's 90. I'm just saying, I'm saying what you all are too scared to say. You all thought it. Stop it. You know you did.
Just stick with created a captain's log in his NASA diaper.
There you go. Well, I mean, geez, I didn't want his bones to turn to dust flying up there. Good heavens. So I'm glad that he's... I think it's great. I'm not being mean. You guys are like reading me all wrong. Stop it. I can't. So the other thing is, while we were on air, Loudoun County Public Schools released a statement, which... I'm looking at the statement, and I'll put this in the prep email for today, but it's so garbage. They just said that they're aware of media and social media reports, etc., that are coming out about things, and they said that they're prohibited from disciplining any student without following the Title IX grievance process, blah blah blah. They said that school board members are not given details of disciplinary matters. I mean, it's just a big giant, they express no condolences at all whatsoever. You have a rape victim, and they said nothing about it in this statement. Nothing. They omitted that there was a rape that occurred on their campus, and that the police, they agreed. They got the evidence of it from the rape kit from the hospital. Charges have been filed. These people are garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. Now I'm so mad. I don't want to talk about nothing else. So it's so insane. I mean, this is, I feel so bad for this freshman girl that's been, I mean, her welfare has, and the other girl that's been attacked, lost in all of this. The other thing, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, a man's kidney transplant was canceled because the donor wasn't vaccinated. You know what else has a, you know what has a cane 100% fatality rate? Yeah. Organ failure.
Yeah, death also, yeah.
Organ failure has a 100% fatality rate. I don't know if you guys knew that. Just saying. So there you have it. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. I have a ton of things we didn't even get to today, but we're just out of time. It's such a packed day. All right, today in stupidity.
Now, I know towards the end of the show yesterday, you had talked about Francis Beta O'Rourke and his little 8 to 10
seconds. He got pushed off to the burner.
Tough talk. We'll just use that as today's stupidity.
Oh, please.
Because I know you promised the audio to people.
I did.
So cut eight, it is Beta O'Rourke.
Francis.
Listen to what he says here.
Debate or argue or fight or f*** with me on politics, I'll take it all day long.
Wow. Sounds like a promise.
Yeah, I'm sure you will there, Panama Red.
Exactly. So his tough talk is not going to do anything, but maybe get him some donors.
I'm quoting Meet the Parents.
Political donors, maybe get him a little money.
Does anyone think that he can fight? He could barely lift his strat.
He doesn't even think he can fight.
Good heavens. This was the guy that had to go off and find himself after he lost his second big race, and he left his kids with the wife. Left the wife and kids and went on for like how many weeks? It's so ridiculous. It's just, I mean, he's the avatar of white leftist slacker entitlement.
Yep.
And his own dad is even quoted in the press as saying that gave him the nickname Beto to appeal to the Hispanic community. Yeah. I have the receipts. So anytime you want them, I got copies of them receipts. All right, let's go, Brandon. Folks, have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.